Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos, Daf Beis, as we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the new Masechta. The main purpose, the main subject of this Masechta is to talk about the halacha of the Ksuba. The Ksuba is the document that the husband writes to his wife as they get married. There's a big machlokes rishonim. If the chiyuv, the obligation of a husband to write a ksuba for his wife, is it a chiyuv deraisa or is it a chiyuv drabonon? The pasuk says, "Kesav yishkal k'mayr habsulos." The Torah speaks about if somebody is mefata, a woman, they would have to pay a fine, kesav yishkal k'mayr habsulos. And from here, we see that there's an obligation. There's something called mayr habsulos. There's something that's called that you pay when a besula gets married. That's why that those that want to suggest that the obligation of a ksuba is a chiyuv deraisa. That's the opinion of Tosfos. The most rishonim disagree with Tosfos, and they have the opinion that the obligation to pay a ksuba is a chiyuv drabonon. Even though they point out that when we look at the wording of the ksuba, it says the chazi l'chi midaraisa. So isn't that clearly indication that the chiyuv ksuba is a chiyuv deraisa? They want to say that what is expressed when we say the chazi l'chi midaraisa is that the obligation is so strong, the obligation is so strong to pay the ksuba, it's as if there's a chiv deraisa to pay it. But there is actually no chiv deraisa to pay it. Even those opinions that hold that the chiv to pay ksuba is a chiv deraisa, that's only when one marries a psula, a virgin. But if one marries a woman who's not a psula, everybody agrees, an amana, a ba'ula, everybody will agree that the chiv ksuba under those circumstances is a chiv drabonim. Moreover, when we speak about the chiv ksuba, that we will speak about in our masechta, the amount to pay for ksuba is by psula is 200 zuz, and by a ba'ula it's meyer zuz, 100 zuz. The minig is that on top of just giving the basic amount, as we just discussed, one has to give for a ksuba. There, people give a toisvus ksuba. And over the generations, that's what's happened, that by a besula, besides that they give mesayim zuz, that we speak about in our masechta, they add another 100 zuz, which is the chiv of toisvus ksuba by a besula. And by almana, grusha, they add 50 zuz. The chiv of the ksuba begins at the time of marriage. That's at that point where the husband becomes obligated at the time of nisun. Because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in this Masechta quite extensively, every husband who gets married has a chiv ksuba. Not only does he have a chiv ksuba, but most Rishonim are of the opinion that there's no requirement to even enter into a transaction, into a kinyan, to be chayv in the ksuba. The chiv ksuba comes automatically when the couple get married, and there's a lien on the husband's assets to pay that ksuba. The Jewish marriage, as we often will discuss, is divided into two stages. There's erusin and then the suin. A woman who has erusin is considered an eishes ish. If she has an adulterous relationship, she's considered a woman that is a married woman that acted in such a way. But as we said, the erusin is the first stage. And as we're going to be learning quite extensively in the earlier shiurim of our masechta, there was typically a 12-month period, at least by a besula, between the erusin and the nisuin. But she is considered the married woman from the time of the erusin. then the ksuba obligation actually begins at the time of the nesu'in. The obligation of getting married is not of the ksuba is of course not the only obligation that a husband has towards his wife. A husband has to support his wife. He has to give her clothing. He has to take care of any doctor bills. If chas v'shalom she would be kidnapped, he would be obligated to ransom her. He has to bury her if she passes away. If he passes away, as long as she remains in his home, he has to continue, his estate has to continue supporting her. And he has to, and after he passes away, he still has the obligation of supporting her daughters. And then there's the concept of ksubas b'nidichrin, which we'll discuss more later in the Masechta, where his estate has to pay the children of a certain wife more than other children. They're not equal yarshim. Certainly, the obligation for a husband to have relation with his wife is a chiyuv d'oraisa. There's a machloikis rishonim, if the chiyuv of a husband to support his wife and give her clothing, is it a mechiv deraisa, the opinion of the Rambam, or is it a chiv derabbanon, the chiv of the Ramban? The wife is obligated to give her husband masi yadel, that in exchange, that as we just discussed, the husband supports his wife and she has to turn over any earnings she makes. And therefore, if a wife prefers, she could say, "Any nezainus for any oisa, I'm refusing support, and I won't turn over my earnings." If she finds anything, a mitzia, the halach is she's supposed to give it to her husband. If she earns any profit, she has to give it. The Chazal said that because he has the obligation to free her, chas v'shalom, if she was kidnapped, she has to give that to her husband. And if she dies, the halach is she gives over, her husband is a yairish. After having discussed these brief introductory remarks about what the ksub is, the question is, why did Chazal put Masechta Ksubis immediately after Masechta Yevamos? If we're starting to discuss the obligation of a husband and a wife as they get married, the Rambam already asks, shouldn't we have learned Masechta Kedushin before Masechta Ksubis? Because Kedushin is the Erusin that we just mentioned, that the Erusin precedes the Nesu'in, and the Ksuba only becomes an issue at the time of the Nesu'in. So the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos explains, because Yibum is affected with Bia, and Ksuba comes with Nesu'in, and what makes a Nesu'in is the Bia. So these are both obligations that are very connected to Bia. That's why the Rambam says these two Masechtas were put next to each other. The Melacha Shleim explains that the reason Chazal decided to teach us Masechta Ksubis before Masechta Kedushin is in Masechta Yevamos, we spoke many times, says the Melacha Shleim, about Maimer. That even though, as we just said, the way that the Torah describes Yibum is affected is through Bia, but Chazal encouraged, because they didn't want people to just get married with Bia, to have Kedusha with Bia, to have Yibum with Bia. They wanted it to be Maimer. And Maimer, as we said, is a form of Erisin. So therefore, the two halachas are mentioned together, that just like Chazal over there spoke about the Chiv Derabbanan, here too we're going to be speaking about many obligations that the Rabbanan instituted, as we just mentioned, when a couple gets married. The Pnei Yeshua says that at the end of the Masechta, that we learned Masechta Yevamos, we spoke about so much about how a wife could be believed, or other people could be believed to say that one's husband passed away. And not only did we learn that, but one of the last Gemaras we learned in the Masechta was the issue of a husband if a wife comes or an eid echad comes and says that a husband passed away, we discussed that there's no need for drish v'chakira, there's no need for extensive examination to determine if the husband died. And the Gemara said the reason is because just like by Dine Mominus, Chazal said that we could rely, that we don't need drish v'chakira, shloi tenol delos b'fnei lovin. Chazal wanted to make it easy that people should lend money, encourage that. So here too, explain the Pnei Yeshua, Chazal, and the reason the Gemara said is because it's primarily a financial issue. It's primarily an issue about her being able to collect the ksuba. So once we established that it's primarily a legal issue, a monetary issue about the ksuba, our Gemara continues, our Masechtim, Baruch Hashem, will now continue discussing the ksuba. So says the Mishnah, Besula Nesas L'Yom Ravi, a woman who is a Besula gets married on Wednesday, Valmana gets married on Yom Chamishi, Amana gets married on Thursday. The Mefarshim point out that why does the Mishnah say Psula Nesas Li Yom Harvi? Why does it say gets married Li Yom? It should have said Bi Yom Harvi. So Ritva already asked this question, and the Ritva says that what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that a woman should get married, wait to get married on Wednesday. Wait, delay your marriage, as we're going to speak about in our shir, till Wednesday. The Chassam Sofer says that what we're going to learn here is that you could get, that you should get married Wednesday by day. Normally, we would maybe say that she, that the bia of the wedding should be on Wednesday, that should be on Wednesday evening. But as we're about to learn in the Gemara, that since we want, if Chas V'Sham, something comes up, they should be able to come to Beis Din immediately Thursday morning. And if we're going to wait to make the wedding later at night, that's why we want, that may not, they miss the point. So that's why the Mishnah says, B'sulun Sas L'Yom Ravi. Another pshat that I saw, that what is the pshat when it says Psulun Sas L'Yom Ravi, because that is the same words as the word Levana. And what we're learning from here, that a woman should get married at the beginning of the month, in the first half of the month, when the new moon is still there. The Rav Nachman Breslin says that the Kiddush Levana, on the same line, he says that if a person is looking to be able to Baruch Hashem get married, one of the things that they should be careful about is Kiddush Levana. And that's why, says Rav Nachman Breslin, the Mishnah uses the words Besula Nesas L'Yom Harvi, which are the Rosh Tevis of Levana. That's why, because Kiddush Levana is a good way to help that a woman should get married. So as we just explained, Chazal taught us that the proper time should be B'yom Harvi. Continues the Mishnah. Why? Why was it important that a woman should only get married on Yom Harvi? Says the Mishnah, Shepamayim B'Shabbos twice a week, Bati Dinim Yoshim Bayaris, the Bati Dinim in the cities would be in session, B'yom HaSheni B'yom HaChamishi, on Monday and Thursday, and therefore, says the Mishnah, if as the husband has relations with his wife, it's discovered that she's not a psula, and now we need to determine what is the situation here. He'll be able to come to Beis Din immediately, because Beis Din will be in session on Thursday morning, and they'll be able to determine what is the situation, why does he feel that his wife doesn't have psula. So the Rishonim, Tosfos, and other Rishonim ask, even if he won't come to Beis Din, his wife isn't asur to him. Because even if she is a Be'ula, she's not necessarily asur to him, because as we're going to learn, there's a sfek sfeika. There's a suffix if she did something before she, if she did something after this relation that she had, that made her that she's no longer psula, did it happen before ha'erusin? Which we said, a woman who's an arusa, if she has an adulterous relationship, we have a very serious issue. If it was, however, after she became, if it's after an arusa. If it happened before she's an arusa, we don't have such a serious situation. So, first of all, maybe she became a ba'ula before she was an arusa. And even if she became a ba'ula after she was an arusa, unless she's married to a kayin, there is no issue. Because the chazal were only machmer when, if the Torah is only machmer, that if a woman had willingly had this relationship, but if she did this because she was violated, she wouldn't become also to her husband unless she's married to a kohen. So Rashi explains the Rimaska b'shishi that even though all of these points that we just made are very, very true, still says Rashi, if we could get to the truth, if we could determine what really happened here, that's what Chazal wanted to do, and that's why Chazal said we should try to make a real determination. Who's the one that can make the determination? Besdin. That's why I get married Wednesday night. That if there's something to make investigation, that investigation will take place Thursday morning. The Rebbeinu Tam, however, in Tosfos, takes a different point. He says that indeed, in the case of a regular woman who's not married, that's married to Yisrael, where even if she was a ba'ula, as we just finished explaining, we could be lenient because it's a sfeika, we would not have to make a rule that she should get married Wednesday night in order that she should be able to come to Beis Din. The Rebbeinu Tam says, but as we just mentioned before, if she's married to a kohen, then the halacha is very different. If she's married to a kohen, then she does have, then there's only one suffix. Because even if she was violated, she would be usher to go back to her husband. And therefore, because of those women, Chazal instituted that all women should get married on Wednesday night. The Rashba takes the opposite approach. The Rashba says it's only an Eishes Yisrael who should get married on Wednesday. Because, explains the Rashba, by such a woman, we now begin to do some investigation as we've been discussing what exactly is the case here. But by every other woman, by Eishes Kayin, since there's only one suffix, he automatically becomes Asa Tahar. Since he automatically becomes Asa Tahar, until we could prove that there is no issue, so therefore she can get married every other night. So we have here Machloikus Rashi and Tosfos, because of whom that Chazal make the rule that you should only get married Wednesday. Is it because of every woman, or is it only Rashi's opinion, because even though there's a Sfeika, or is it only because of the Eishes Kayin? Says the Chasam Sofer that the Machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos is a very, very fundamental machloikus. He says that the question here is, we know throughout halacha that we're lenient by a sfek sfeika. That the halacha is that when we have a sfek sfeika, we can be lenient. The question is, if we have a sfek sfeika, are we obligated to try to determine what is the situation? Rashi's opinion is that even though it's a sfek sfeika, and the halacha allows us to be lenient in the case of a sfek sfeika, here, if we could verify and investigate, we have every obligation to do so. Tosfos, however, on the hand, holds that we don't have such a obligation. And since we don't have an obligation, it's a sfek sfeika, we could be lenient. Only by the Eishes Kayin, where we don't have a sfek sfeika, do we have to go to Beis Din. Rabbi Kivega and Afla quote Yerushalmi that the Almana that became an almana before her husband ever had a chance to have relations with her, even though she's an almana, and our mesechta began with besula nesas liyom revi, it's only in a besula. Here, a besula should be understood not a situation of a besula versus a bula. That's the way to understand it. Not to understand it, an almana, a woman that was once married versus a woman that was never married. The point here is this woman expected to be a basula? If this woman is expected to be a basula, then we do the marriage b'yom ha'rivi, we do the marriage on Wednesday. If she's not expected to be that way, we don't have to do the marriage on Wednesday. And as we just said, we do the wedding on Wednesday, because if we're going to do the wedding on another night, and then the husband's going to have to wait until Beis Din is in session, Chazal were concerned that until that time he may cool off and he may not bring his wife to Beis Din. And if there's something that needs to be investigated, we're obligated to investigate it and not delay it and not ignore it. And in fact, I saw from the Alter Slabodka in his Sefer Chochmas HaMatzpon, he says that the first Mishnah of our Masechta is teaching us an incredibly important lesson. And that is that the halacha is most concerned about people who get excited and then get cooled off. He says that all of the good things that people do in life are done because they're excited about them. What prevents us from doing what we're supposed to be doing is when we let good intentions cool off. And that's what this Mishnah is coming to teach us. Basula Nasas L'Yom Ravi, if there's something to take care of it immediately. Don't let it get cooled off. I saw from the Tanker Rav that our Mishnah begins with Basula Nasas L'Yom Ravi. And Tosfos asked the question, why doesn't it say Habasula Nasas? Just like it says in Masechta Kedushin, he isha niknas. So shouldn't the Mishnah have said habesula niknas, habesula nisas? So he answers, because our Mishnah wanted to begin with the letter Beis. Just like we find that the Torah begins with the word with the letter Beis, Bereishis, so too our Masechta was going to begin with the letter Beis, which represents Bracha. And in fact, he says, like this, we could connect, and Mitzvah Shem will make a seam in Masechta Ksubis. And the end of the Masechta discusses that he sees the Kalilana structure by Tzisrael, all trees that are barren at Tzisrael, Shietnu Paris. This Masechta is a Masechta, a Bracha. And that's why our Masechta begins with the letter Beis. The letter Beis represents Bracha. Chazal instituted, as we're learning, that women should get married on Wednesday night. And as we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn extensively in our shir, that because of Beis Din was in session on Thursday, doesn't necessarily apply nowadays. Bati Dinim are equally in session all the days of the week. And the question that many Achroinim discuss is, should we continue having preferably a wedding on Yom Ravi? Once our Mishnah taught us that Basula Nasas B'Yom Ravi, that's the preferred day to make the wedding? Or, since the reason for making a wedding on Wednesday no longer apply, we can make a wedding every day. The Nachla Shiva says that weddings should continue to be made on Wednesday. Once that was the minhag that was established, that is the way it should continue. Moreover, the Shlach Kaddish says, Shem Shemayim Yim Kaddish Al Yadchem. We all want to bring Kiddush Shemayim to the world. How will there be a Kiddush Shemayim? Kshetasach Chasun L'Benechem. If you will marry off your children, Ketzivi Chazal, like Chazal told us to do, Ksula Nisus L'Yoyim Harvi. And I saw that the Shevet Alevi and Chelik Tes Simen Reish Ayin Beis says again that the reason that we're going to learn, that we just learned for wedding being on Wednesday, isn't applicable b'zman hazeh. Still, he says if somebody can get married b'yom ha'rivi, that is what is preferable, because once Chazal established that that's the day to get married, whenever Chazal give us a rule, even though the rule is given with a reason, there are many reasons that Chazal did not reveal to us, but are still very much part of the reason to do what Chazal said, and if possible, once you get married, a Yom Revi'i. In general, there's an important point, and that is that one should try to always follow Minhagim. There's an incredible story that I saw from Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan was rarely agreed to be beside the Kedushin at a wedding, but the question was, there was once agreed to come to a wedding, but the wedding was going to take place indoors. And the minig, particularly according to Ashkenazic Jews, as the Ramah quotes at the beginning of quotes in Evan Ezer, Simon Samach Aleph, Sif Beis, is that a wedding should be done outdoors under the stars, because that's a Simon Bracha, that this new couple should be blessed just like the stars, they should be blessed. Kekoichvei Hashemayim. And Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan refused to be mesad the kedushin at a wedding that was done indoors, even though it's only a minig. Once we have a minig in Klal Yisrael, we have to be careful to do the minig properly. I even saw from the Meches Yitzchak, the minig is that, as we're going to be discussing, Mitzvah Hashem, that a wedding is done with a chuppah. And a chuppah is four sticks, four poles, and a piece of material on top of the four poles. He said there was somebody that wanted to make a new type of chuppah out of flowers, and the Meches Yitzchak was opposed to it. He said, again, any minig that Chazal established is a minig that we're obligated to follow. So begins the Gemara. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, why did Chazal say a Psul should get married on Wednesday? Says the Gemara, that, as we said, in the time of Chazal, the marriage was done in two stages, first the Erisin and then the Nisuin, and typically there was a 12-month period in between. So if the time for getting married comes and the husband has not done the Nisuin, the halacha is that even though during the time of Erisin, a husband is not obligated to support his wife, but once that time comes, we're going to learn in the Mishnah later in Amasech, the Oichos Mishaloi, he has to begin supporting her. And not only must he begin at that point supporting her, but Oichos Petruma, the halacha is that midaraisa, a woman, as soon as she has Erisin, as we said in our shir, is an Eishes Ish. And because at that point she's an Eishes Ish, she's entitled to truma if she's marrying a Kayim. Chazal said, however, that she should not eat truma. And there are two reasons why Chazal made that rule. One is because the Chazal were concerned she might serve that truma to Acher v'Chaseha, that she may serve that truma to her brothers and sisters, because she's still living in her parents' home. The other reason Chazal made that rule is because he may find that his wife is a balas mum, and if Chas v'Sholem, his wife is a balas mum, then she's not supposed to eat the truma, and that's why the marriage is a mekhtos, they ought not to have got married, and therefore she's not entitled to eat the truma. But, says the Mishnah, once the time that they're supposed to get married comes and he hasn't married her, she does eat truma. What about these concerns? So as we're going to learn, he checks her out. If she has her checked out before this time, if she is or isn't a balas mum, and she no longer eats in her parents' home. And because of that, the concerns we just mentioned aren't there. Yochel, so continues the Gemara, that now that we determined that the 12 months come, and she's now getting supported from him. So what would be if the 12 months come be'echad b'Shabbos, they fall on a Sunday? The halacha maybe should be yemal mazonos. He should have to start supporting her on Sunday. That's why, says the Gemara, l'kach shenina, that's why our Gemara just taught us that b'sul in the sas l'yom revi'i, that the halacha is that she. She can't say that you're obligated to start supporting me from Sunday. The 12 months are up. She could delay it until Wednesday. The Chachamim
discuss what is the obligation that the husband has to support the wife when the 12 months are up. Is it because of a knas? He's supporting her. It's a knas that since he's supposed to marry her and start supporting her, and he didn't, so Chazal fined and punished him, he has to start supporting her? Or is Chazal said that even though they haven't had actual nesuin, the obligation of mezoinus and the obligation of nesuin aren't necessarily traveling together? What would be the nafkamina? What would be that if he's an oinus, as we're going to be discussing quite extensively? It was beyond his control that they didn't get married. If it's a knas, so if he's an oinus, if it was against his, something happened beyond his control, there's no reason to punish such an individual. But we're not going to learn that it's a knas, we're going to learn that it's because the time came, then she deserves it, even though it was something beyond his control. Another nafkamina is, as we said in our introductory remarks, Chazal said that the husband has to support the wife, and she has to turn over her earnings to her husband. If we'll say that if the time for them to get married came, and he didn't support her, he didn't marry her, he has to support her, is a knas, then she wouldn't have to give over the masi yadayim. Because they're not married, only because of the knas is she obligated to turn it over. But if we say it's connected to the obligation of a husband to the wife, so if there's an obligation from the husband to the wife that he has to support her, there's an obligation from the wife to the husband that she has to turn over the Masi Yudayim. Amar Rav Yosef, Mori Davram. So Rav Yosef, when he heard this discussion, says, Mori Davram, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Avram Avinu. What happened here is, he says, Toli Tanya, our Mishnah, which, Midloi Tanya, our Mishnah, you're explaining our Mishnah based on something that's not taught in a Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, what's Rabbi Yosef saying? Hai Tanya v'hai Loi Tanya? Which of the Mishnahs that we just mentioned is not an explicit Mishnah? Ha Tanya v'tanya, both of the halachas that we just discussed are explicit Mishnahs. Says, what he meant to say was, Tanya, Tanya, the Mefarish Tana. Our Mishnah says the reason very explicitly why the wedding should take place on Wednesday night. And it's connected to a Mishnah where it doesn't explain. Higiyuzman v'leinesu. So what are we trying to say? So of course many Mefarshim try to understand why did Rabbi Yosef say, Marad Avram? So, the Sefer Lekutei Basar Lekutei explains that we know that Rabbi Yosef was a person who was blind. And the Gemara discusses if a person who's blind and still does mitzvahs is better, because he's a mitzvah v'ein oisa, he's not obligated to do the mitzvah, or is a person who's obligated to do a mitzvah more significant? Is a mitzvah v'isa greater or mitzvah v'ena isa is better? Rabbi Yosef, who was blind, held the ena mitzvah v'isa, that somebody who's not obligated to do a mitzvah is considered more significant. Who was another person that was ena mitzvah v'isa and still did of the mitzvahs? Avram Avinu. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef was the one that said Marid Avram. The Kotzker explained, who was the first person that we find that asked the question? Avram Avinu, the Medrash says, when he saw the world, he says, there must be somebody who's leading this world. Kum yesh bira, is there a world, is there a house without a balabira? So whenever we have a great question, we say, the halacha is that we call the question, Mari Davram. I once saw another pshat that the Sfas Emma says that there was a father-in-law who had a son-in-law in yeshiva learning in Kailul, and the father-in-law was supporting the son-in-law. And he came to the Rebbe to complain that it's difficult for him to have to support his son-in-law. So the Sfas Emma used the words of our Gemara. You think that he's learning and you're not learning and you're supporting him. And that's how the parnassah is coming from you. Tali Tanya, you think that the one that's learning is dependent on the loy Tanya, on the person who's not learning. But he said that's not the way it is in life. The way it is in life is just the opposite. Tali Tanya, but the Tanya. The people who are learning, the people who are learning are the ones that bring bracha and Yeshua to the world. Ella, says the Gemara, this is what Rabbi Yosef meant to say. Yitma hachi yitma. Amri Yudama Shmuel, Menei Ma'ar Menusul Nusas L'yom Revi. Why did Chazal say that the Psula should get married on Wednesday? Because Shemhoi Lotanis Psulim, Hay Mashkel Bezdin. Because Thursday morning the Bezdin is in session. Of that, the question is, why shouldn't their marriage be take place on Sunday? Because for the same concern, because if there's going to get married and there'll be a Tanis Psulim, they'll be able to go to Besdin immediately on Monday morning. To which Shmuel answered, Chazal were concerned about the benefit of Jewish girls. They wanted that the wedding should be prepared in a proper fashion. That the husband should prepare the wedding for 3 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and get married on Wednesday. And that's the reason that Chazal said that the wedding should be on Wednesday and not, and the wedding should be not be on Sunday. However, says the Gemara, V'achshe sheninu, now that we've learned that the reason Wednesday is the day for the wedding is because shachtu, thou oishe sheninu, so now we could also understand that the Mishnah we're going to learn that we quoted on Daf Nun Zayin that says, Higiyas sbar v'loy nisu, if the time for getting married comes and they haven't gotten married, and that's when the husband has to start supporting the wife. If the time for the marriage falls on Sunday, since Sunday is not a day for getting married, the halacha is, he doesn't have to support her because the time for the wedding hasn't come. Continues Rabbi Yosef on what Shmuel said, lefikach chalahu, if the husband is sick and that's why he can't get the marriage didn't take place, he or she was sick and that's what prevented the marriage from happening, or she became a nida and that's why the marriage cannot take place, they can't consummate the marriage. In all these cases, ena malam zonis, the halacha is that you don't have to, animal Amazonas, he doesn't have to start supporting her because it was beyond his control that the wedding didn't take place. Our Gemara just spoke about Pirsa Nida. That if she became a Nida, we can't have Nisuin. And there's a very fundamental machlokes Rishonim. What is the status of a Chuppas Nida? If a woman is a Nida, can we have the Chuppah or not? The opinion of the Rambam is that Chuppah should not take place when a girl is a Nida. The Ran, however, holds, and most Rishonim are of the opinion that a chuppah is allowed to take place when the woman is a nida. Of course, everybody agrees that the chassan has to be informed that the kala is a nida. But according to the most Rishonim, the Ritva, the Ran, the chuppah could take place even if the girl is a nida. What is the basis of the machloikus of the Rambam and the other Rishonim? So the Aflah explains, as we're mitzvashem going to learn, what exactly constitutes a chuppah. Is the chuppah the standing and going, that the chosun takes the kala into a room, which just going to be the chosun and kala? If that's the chuppah, so if she's a nida, the chosun and kala are not supposed to be secluded in a room. And that's why the Rambam holds, one should not have a chuppah's nida. But others, the other Rishonim hold that the chuppah is not necessarily that they have to go into a secluded room. It's just, we're going to learn, if she goes out with a veil, like a kala goes out, if that's the case, then the halacha will be that the chuppah's nida is fine. The Marsham in the Tshuva's Chel Gimel Simen Resh Hei quotes the Besamim Rosh that says that even the Rambam, who takes the stricter approach that you shouldn't have a chippus nida will agree that a pihalocha, their chuppah is a valid chuppah. The Rambam is only saying, he says, that it's appropriate that we shouldn't have a chuppah nida. But not that the halacha will say that a chuppah that was done even according to the Rambam when it was, she was a nida would not be a valid chuppah. Says the Gmarvika the Boiler Mibayan. Some had this Gemara, this discussion as a question. Cholahu mahu. Why would be the halacha if the husband got sick and the time for the marriage came and he can't make the chasma? Why when the wedding happened on Sunday? Tamamai, why did Chazal say that he doesn't have to start supporting her? Mishum da onus. Because it's Sunday and the wedding is supposed to be on Wednesday. So we could say here also, Hochnami ha onus. It's something beyond his control. Adilma hosum onus. Chazal said that the marriage should take place on Wednesday, not on Sunday. And therefore, the Sunday is not the day of the wedding, and he didn't do anything wrong if he doesn't get married on Sunday. Hocha, it's not at the Kanan de Rabbanan. Vimtim Tzolaymer, and if we'll say, continues the Gemara, Chaluhu Malam Azoinus, that if he gets sick, he still has to support her. Chosei Mahi. What would be the halacha if she got ill? Matza Amala, Anah Kimna. Can he say, I'm prepared to get married? It's your fault that we're not getting married, and therefore I should not have to support you. Adilma Matza Amila, she could say to him, Nestap Chosadeyu, it's your bad luck. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, the obligation to get married is not the obligation of the woman. The obligation to get married is the obligation of the man. And she's saying, if something happened that prevented us from getting married, it's because of you. And therefore, since it's because of you, then you should have to pay, even though it's I who am the one that prevented the wedding from happening. Vimtim Tzolam D'Amalei, that she can indeed claim to him, Nestap Chosadeyu, it's your issue. Pearson Nida, Ma, what will happen if she became a Nida? So the Gemara goes down. B'Shas Vesta, if it's the time that she's expected to become a nida, loy to beilach, the loy matzah amlach, the stop chasadeyu. She can't say that this is something that's your bad luck, because that's the way it is with women, that they get their period. Ki to beilach, the question is, loy b'shas vesta, she got her period in a time that she wasn't expecting it. Mal. It's not something that was expected. Matzi Amrle, she could say to him, Nestapcha Sadeu, it's obviously that's all because of you. Idilma, well, the question is, Kivan the Ikin Noshin the Kamashani Vastayu, it does happen often enough that women get their periods, even in a time where they're not expected to get the period. So it's Kishas Vesta Dami, and she can't claim to her husband, it's because of you. Says the Gemara, for that, Pasha Dravachi. Dravachi answers this question based on the Mishnah that we've been quoting on Daf Nun Zayin. Because the Mishnah says, Agi is Mavalai Nisu, Oichus Mishmoi, Oichus Matshuma. So Dravachi makes the diak. The Mishnah doesn't say, Loi Nasu, Loi Ktanu, Eloi Nisu Ktani. It means that they didn't get married to the husband. Hechidami. Either come akvi, any, if it's the woman who's preventing the nesuin from happening, she's the one that's preventing the wedding. The husband says, I'm ready to get married. What happened here was that it's not that she's refusing to get married. Something beyond her control happened, and ketani, and still the halach is that ochus mishloi v'ochus matruma. Amar vashi l'aylam emelach kol insa, when something happened beyond her control, she doesn't get to eat. The kamakvi inu, because since the only time she gets to eat is if the husband is the one that prevented the wedding from happening. And therefore, the Mishnah should have said the word loy nasu. But since the Mishnah began, we're talking about the woman, Tana Nami Sefer B'didi. But the halacha is that even if the marriage didn't take place because of her, he still has to support her. Amarava, Now that we began discussing, if something beyond control happened, how does the halacha view such a situation? What will happen if there was a get? And because of somebody gave a get, and he attached a condition to it, that the get should only be valid if this condition is met, and then because of an oinus, the get it couldn't be fulfilled, the halacha is that by get, there is no claim of oinus. And if the get is supposed to take place, even though it was beyond their control, the halacha is that the get is still a get. Ask the Gemara, Menale Rav Ha, from where does Rav know this halacha? Ilay Mahad Tanan. We're going to learn a Mishnah Masech to Gittin Daf Ayin Vav Mebeis. The Mishnah says, if somebody says to his wife, Hareze Gitech, he says, I'm giving you this get, if I don't show up before 12 months. And now, Meis B'toich Shnei Masa Chodesh, he died during those 12 months, ain't a get. So the get, the Tanai wasn't fulfilled. The halacha is that the get's not a good get. Why? Because the get is only supposed to kick in at 12 months. And the get can't kick in at that point because he's no longer alive. Meis would ain't a get. But let's say he was sick, and Chala, let's say he was sick, and that's why he didn't come. The get would be a get, even though it was beyond his control. So we see that that there is no claim of oinus by gittin, says the Gemara. Who says to explain the Mishnah that way? Says the Gemara, that chala, if he became sick, nami ain't a get. The get would not be a get, because it was beyond his control. So if that's the case, why did the Mishnah choose to speak about a case where he died? The Mishnah could have taught us a case where he got sick and we would learn the same halacha. Says the Gemara, he gufa kamashmon, because we want to learn the ain't get lacha misa, that a get cannot be effective after misa. And the way most Rishonim explain is because dead people can't give a get, because that's one pshat. Other Rishonim say that the marriage ends, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Gittin, every marriage ends at time of a get. So there's nothing, the get is here to terminate the marriage. But there no longer is a marriage if there's a get. There's no longer marriage if he's dead. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the purpose of our Mishnah is to teach us the halacha of ein get l'achamisa? Hatana l'ereisha. The previous Mishnah, Masechta Gittin, already teaches us that halacha. Because the Mishnah says, if a shchimera gave a get to his wife, and he says, hareza getach imati, hareza getach mechayla zu, hareza getach l'achamisa lo'yam aklum. That a get, achamisa, is nothing. So so says the Gemara, the purpose of this Mishnah is not to teach us this halacha, because this halacha has already taught us. Says the Gemara, maybe the reason we have to need this Mishnah is still not connected to the halacha of get, about oinus in the get. But the purpose is to teach us lafuki mid Rabbi Seinu, that we don't agree with the Rabbi Seinu. Kritanya, as the Rabbi Nesenu say in that Mishnah, he say that in the case where somebody said a reza gita chemati, which seems to say that the get should only be valid after his death, the get would be actually a good get. Vamrinan, and we try to understand Rabbi Nesenu, who exactly are the Rabbi Nesenu, and Amar Yudim Bishmul, Beidina the Shar Mishka. Originally, Rebbe made a rule that one should not, just like Bishul Akum is Asur, you're not allowed to have the oil of Akum. But it was a gzeira she'en roi v'tzir b'yichayel l'amad boy. It was a gzeira that was difficult to follow. Then they said it's mutter. The Savlik Rebbe Yossi, that they follow the opinion of Rebbe Yossi, dom is manish ashtar mechichalov. The date of the get is a proof when the get was supposed to be valid. And since the date of the get is before he passed away, that's why it's a good get. So, says the Gemara, and that's the case, that Mishnah that we've been trying to use as the source that ain't oinus begitten is not the source. So where do we take this halacha? Says the Gemara, Misefa, where somebody said, if somebody doesn't says that the get should be valid from today, if I don't show up by 12 months, If he dies during the 12 months, then the get is still a valid get, because we say from the date, from today's date, the get was a get. Says the Gemara, why is that a proof? Dilma may stafka. In a case where he died, and the reason he wrote the get is because he did not want his wife to have to fall to Yibum, we say the get is valid from today. The leinichle, the tipul kamayavim, because he doesn't want his wife to fall to get, to fall to Yibum. But if he gets sick where he's alive, he wants the get to be valid. And since he wants, under those circumstances, the get to be valid, and the only reason he hasn't shown up is because he's an oinus, it was beyond his control, then the halacha will be that yesh oinus begitten. Meaning, we don't have a raya, but we don't have a raya one way or the other, and we're still trying to understand what is the halacha. Is oinus an issue by getten or not?